And let me introduce myself, just so those of y'all that may not know who I am. My name is Matt Umber. I'm the middle school pastor. So I have been here coming up on 20 years in this, I guess October 1st or 2nd is when I'll have my 20th anniversary. So I've seen a lot of middle schoolers come through the doors of this church. In fact, I got an email the other day about subject I'd talked about, the shore, and mom had asked and wanted clarification, and she goes, okay, well, that's what I figured, and I went to the shore when I was in middle school, too, so I figured it was all good. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel really old that this lady went to the shore when she was in middle school, and her daughter's there now, so all part of the fun of staying around for a while, but yeah, so anyway, I'm really excited that I get to share with you guys a little bit about this whole navigating technology and social media and all that kind of fun stuff. And but let me first say that I am by no means an expert on that. And I've tried in getting ready for this, kind of look at a few different articles and some websites and said, hey, what can I look at and try and figure out to help encourage you guys and give you guys some resources and some ideas and thoughts. And yay, my wife came and sat on the front row. At least somebody's sitting on the front row, so that's good. But anyway, so I'm not a, don't call me an expert, but I tell you, I am surrounded by middle schoolers who are experts in social media and technology and stuff. And so I've had to learn a little bit over the course of time. But what I want to do tonight is hopefully look at a couple different kind of big topics. One of them is obviously when it comes to phones, which is kind of the introduction a lot of times into it. Now, a lot of times younger kids will have tablets or using an iPad or using one of y'all's iPads or something. And you have to deal with a few things on there. Our kids are on the fourth grade and younger. And so we're on the front end of this where there are beginning to be other people that are talking about cell phones, and Savannah would love a cell phone, but that's not going to happen for a little while. And so anyway, but that's the world they live in. And so within the next couple of years, the reality is what I see is by sixth grade, the vast, I'd say majority, have cell phones. And that's kind of when that door opens up. Most kids at that point, not all, by the end of middle school, virtually everybody has some sort of phone or way to get in touch with the busy lives that kids lead. And so anyway, it's going to be fun as we dive in and look at a couple different things. I think one thing we know is that we live in a world that's surrounded by it. So everybody's got to figure out how do our kids navigate this in a healthy way. And that's something that we can't just, you know, pretend it's not there or hope they never hear about this thing called social media or apps or phones or anything. They're going to. And so, and the other thing I want to encourage us is that probably we will all be hypocrites at some point when it comes to how we manage this, because we're of a generation trying to learn about how do we manage this. This is the first group of parents that have had their kids have so much access to so much stuff, and everybody's trying to kind of figure it out on the fly. If you were a parent 15 years ago, this was not an issue that you really had. You had plenty of other issues to deal with, but you didn't have to deal with this one. And who knows what it's going to be like in another 15 years. But so we're all gonna mess up. We're all gonna tell our kids, stop spending so much time on the phone, and be like, wait a minute, I just got a call. I gotta get, you know, and find ourselves on this device a lot more. I know I am guilty of it for sure. Of sometimes spending too much time on this, finding myself just, you know, any moment that there's not something right in front of me going, I wonder what's on Facebook, or I wonder what's on random sports pages that I've bookmarked on my phone. And so we're going to probably be hypocrites. We're probably going to make some mistakes. Our kids are going to make some mistakes. So we just need to understand that's kind of the way it's going to be, but we want to do the best that we can. So as we get started. So what I say here is even if you keep these things from your kids now, later is coming. And you know, when you think about the whole now and later, that's kind of what is coming. We need to be about preparing them to launch with a God-honoring view of technology and social media. So the idea that I want us to think about is not just a defensive posture in all of this when it comes to dealing with social media and phones and everything like this, but how do we want to send them off? One day they're going to be going to college and they're not going to be a mom and dad there. So how do we get them to the point where we feel good about how they're going to go off? You know, it used to be like, oh, when you got to college, that's when everybody started, you know, drinking and stuff like that because their parents had a hold on them. Well, the same thing can happen in a much greater scale when it comes to their the way they view social media, technology, internet, and all that kind of thing. So we want to prepare them to launch. That's the goal, is not to just hope they've never seen a bad website by then. That would be a great part of the goal, but the goal is really for them to launch out and go, hey, I've got to actually, they understand why they believe what they believe about technology and why they'd make some decisions. And so we've got to put some parameters. There's always closer knit parameters, younger they are, and those gradually get stretched out as they earn a little bit more trust. But that's kind of the way we want to think about it. And so before we talk about our kids, though, let's look at ourselves, because I think that's one of the issues that we all need to look at. And our kids are certainly looking at us, aren't they? Like they have a good idea of when we do right, when we do wrong, and what our tendencies are. And there's a lot of good accountability that comes from that. They'll yell at you if you start texting probably while you're driving, and for good reason. You know, they'll notice things like that. They'll notice when you're tuned in to your iPad or phone, and they're trying to get your attention. And so, but that's a good thing. So how are we doing on this issue? Are you on your device of choice constantly? Think about that. I've had to kind of look at myself and critique my own life and go, there are probably some times that I am on my phone a lot more. And what I've realized is that for there's a great portion of my life, the past, say, I don't know, 15 years or so, the only person I've worried about, well, how is this affecting is me. How is my use of my technology affecting me? If I'm doing okay with it, then I can manage it and that's fine. But now I've realized there's other people that are watching me. So it's not just how is my use of technology affecting me, it's how is my use of technology affecting my kids as they see me and as other people are around me. So there's a little bit more. You know, do you comment or like posts more than you encourage your child with words of affirmation? Sometimes we find ourselves in this world of social media that is so easy to yeah, and it's nothing wrong with liking a bunch of people's posts and commenting and being in there, and you keep up with a lot of fun stuff. That's one of the neat things when it comes to social media. But sometimes we may go, hey, am I more on that than I am even talking to my kids and making sure they hear me or writing them a note or talking to them? And so you got to think about this. It may be that you're great about saying out on Facebook that, oh, I'm so proud of my kid that did A, B, C, and D, but your kids aren't even on Facebook, so they don't even know you're saying that. They need to hear it themselves, you know, and they need to hear you kind of brag on them. Do you get nervous when you don't have your phone? I do. If I leave my phone, it's like, Where is my phone? You know, it's like you get breaking a cold sweat and start, looking around and trying to make sure everything's okay. And I always think, surely I'm going to pick it up and there'll probably be like 10 missed calls and a bunch of men. It's like nothing, like nobody even called me in that whole time. I'm like, man, not as popular as I thought it was. But you know, you just feel like, oh my gosh, there's something when you don't have it with you. And so, if we feel that way, think of how much more an adolescent that's getting a phone feels that way when they're so attached to it, how nervous they get. Although they leave it everywhere, but that's just because I work with middle schoolers, I know that. And just, do you need a break from technology? You know, and that might be something that you think about, is really going, hey, what do I need to do, especially as we head towards the summers? There's some time periods that you need to set up for a break just to kind of recalibrate when it comes to all this kind of deal. So anyway, if we need our phone to entertain us all the time, how can we tell our kids to stop spending so much time on their devices? And I think, so I want us to kind of go, hey, let's look inside before we're always good at making lots of rules, but let's think of what rules affect us and try and live by those rules ourselves, because in every aspect of life, your kids need to see consistency with what you say for them and what you do yourself. Whether it's how you, what you believe about drinking or TV or anything like that, there needs to be some consistency in what you say and how you actually live. The same thing's true when it comes to technology and social media, is that they don't need to see mixed messages of what you say, don't do this, but then they find you doing that. So think about that. Now, when it comes to some phones, and I'm going to talk probably the most about phones because that's probably the most biggest first hurdle that you get when everybody wants a phone, and then that phone is a big major thing that they hold in their hand. And so I want to think about this. So think about a couple of things that you guys decide as parents. So where do the phone family phones spend the night, okay? This is something that you guys need to, before you ever get a phone for your kiddo, there needs to be some plans in place about where they spend the night. The reality is that I have found that most students, if their phone is in their hand and you've got a son, they're going to be looking at stuff they shouldn't look at. That's just a reality, if that's sitting there. With the way phones are today and the internet access and everything like that, I tell parents, it's like, if you'd have told me and my generation, hey, here's a Playboy magazine, I want you to put it in your backpack and carry it with you everywhere you go, but don't look at it, okay? I mean, that's what they're kind of dealing with. They know that that's there and they've got access, and yet they're not supposed to look at it. That's a really difficult thing. Girls, it's a little bit less of that and more of this whole social whirlwind and worried about what everybody thinks of them. And it's like, you know, 25 years ago, if you had all the people from your school speaking into your life 24/7, no matter where you went, you go home, there's that girl that doesn't like you. You know, you go to either restaurant, there's that girl that's talking about you. You go to, you know, church, there's that girl, because their phone and social media, everybody has access to you all the time. And so it's a challenging deal. So spending the night and not having that phone near them, not having a computer right by them, not having an iPad right by them, that's an important thing. So you got to figure out where they spend the night. You know, I'd recommend putting in the kitchen or something like that, where it's just a place that takes away a lot of this. See, every time you make your kids decide and figure out something, you're putting a big burden on their shoulders about how they're supposed to be. And the reality is, we need to help them by lessening that burden on them. And so if we can go, hey, this is not an option for you to think about, is it right or is it wrong at 11 p.m. to text back this guy, because you're not going to have a phone in your room. Like, that's not even possible. So we're going to take that off of you as a parent and go, hey, here's where they stay. And so if you can establish some of those principles early on, that's great. What are no technology times for each family member? Definitely need to think about when y'all don't want technology around. Is it around mealtimes? Is it after a certain time? Is it not in the morning before school so they can get ready? And everybody's different. And here's the crazy thing. You're going to run into this with your kids because your rules are going to be different from somebody else's rules. And so you're going to have a conversation with them about, hey, this is where we feel like God's leading us in this area. And so just because Jason and Jessica could do this doesn't mean you're going to be able to, you know, and be like, oh, it's so unfair. Y'all are so terrible. Just get ready, because that's kind of part of it. But that's okay. It's okay. We want to make sure that we're doing our best to help them launch into the future and protect them as we can, and then also help them gain some healthy habits in terms of dealing with this. So what are no technology times? Could be at meals, could be in the mornings, could be at nights. Who's the keeper of passwords? You got to think about that. Your students don't need to have their own passwords that you don't know, period. It's just not a good idea. My recommendation is that you would make mom the keeper of the passwords. That you would, and so anytime they've got to do anything, it's password protected, they've got to get your permission, so to speak. And there's going to be some passwords, like what they use to get onto their iPad, you know, or whatever it is. And our kids have, we've got a couple of our iPads that they tend to use a lot, so they know which ones, the pink ones, 8316, and the blue ones, 1212. So they'll learn those, but that's just to open it up. But then what you need is passwords beyond that to be able to download any apps or anything like that, so that you know exactly what's on your on your laptop. I mean, on any of your devices that are internet connected. So who's the keeper of the password? You need to make sure this has nothing to do with, I mean, it does have to do with technology, but TVs, like really think about that when it comes to that. You should have locked down all of your TVs to be able to only show certain content. You know, Michelle has the password in our family, and I don't even know it. So I don't want to know it. And so, but if the kids see me looking at a TV show and going, oh, I got to get mom to hit the password in, I want them to understand that, hey, this is something that is not, that all of us are playing by the same rules. And so, certainly there's too much junk out there to get in. It used to be just TV is what you had to worry about, but now it's everything. So you need passwords on all of your devices. It's crazy to think about how much is connected to the internet in your house at any given time. So really think about that and make sure you get a plan for, hey, what it is, who it is. They never have their own passwords. Maybe one day they're going to have a password, but not now. And so again, you always think about now and later and where's the future. Hey, by the time they're seniors in high school, I got a lot of this stuff from a North Point Church, which is over in Atlanta, Georgia. They've got their middle school website had some great resources on it. So I just kind of begged, borrowed, and stole from them and added a few other things. But the pastor of that church says, hey, we want our kids, by the time they're seniors in high school, to essentially us not have any rules for them. So they get basically a mock freshman year in college, because the next year they're about to go. And so they always kept that as this kind of carrot on the end of the stick going, hey, our goal is for you to abide by this, because here's where we want you to get is to the point where you're at there as your senior year, is to where you can have your own phone, but right now you're not going to have your own phone, and that kind of deal. So that's a really big thing. Make sure you get all your passwords and get those down and write them down so you don't forget them, and then everybody's locked out. Because that can happen. I don't know. I mean, does anybody have like several passwords, and there's like so many, every website in the world, and you're like, is it this one? Capital M or lowercase m? Or does it have to have a number sign, or does it just the number? And I'm like, I'm utterly confused about this. I'm just guessing. One thing at the church, I've had to reset it so many times. I've gone through like every single one of my kids. It was like Matt, and then it was Austin, and Savannah, and it was Jackson. I'm like going to Michelle. I'm going to any random cousins' names. And I'm like, this is too hard. Why do I forget this so often? But the next one I want to say is, what program are we going to get to modern technology use? This is to be totally honest, we don't have any of these yet. But it is definitely something that I think within the next year or two that we are going to have at our house. And as I started looking into this, there's some great options for ways to keep up and monitor what's going on in your house so that you're aware as a parent of what's happening. And so the four of these are all pretty solid. Phone Sheriff is one. Teen Safe. Circle Go, which is actually meetcircle.com. I went in on that because they kind of switched that. Covenant Eyes is another deal. That Meet Circle or Circle is a Disney deal. I would really encourage you, go on their website. Go on all these websites. Every one of them has a little video that kind of explains what it does and how it works. Theirs is the coolest video, which you'd figure because Disney's got like buku bajillions of dollars. But it is unbelievable. It's one device. Basically, all these devices in some way would let you limit when you're able to get on the internet, would let you know what sites have been visited, would let you lock out certain sites, would let you, some of them with phones, would let you block certain numbers, would let you know how much time is spent on different apps. It'll literally diagram out. It'll say like, okay, like 45 minutes was spent on Instagram and an hour and a half was spent texting, or you've got 498 texts and all these different things, all that kind of information, which is huge. Covenant Eyes is one that is a little bit more from a Christian perspective with the goal of accountability, where you can set it up to where websites are all sent to an accountability partner. So say if your dad, all your son, everything where he goes on his phone would get sent to you, because if he knows, hey, everything that I look at is getting monitored, there's a lot more likely they're going to make some good choices when it comes to that. So that's a great thing for me when I know this is a church phone. So that pretty much wipes out any temptation for me to do something dumb. I mean, how dumb would it be? They need to feel that there are people looking at that. Somebody's getting this. Somebody's getting this information. Somebody knows what's happening. Because when they're in this secret private mode, there is a real great temptation to have things that aren't. You want to teach them accountability now, because the reality is, I want my son Austin, who's just in first grade now, by the time he's a senior, not to just be me that I'm holding him accountable with this, but I would love for him to be within a group of guys that are getting emails about what he's watching that are his peers, that are all holding each other accountable. And so if they learn with accountability with me, then they put that in practice with amongst their friends, going, hey, we all love God. We all want to figure out, you know, walk through life together. And so you need to get probably something out. That's one of the interesting things when I looked at this deal, this porn-free family plan. I was really kind of shocked when it was like, number one, on the plan page, the second page of it, it says step one, inventory, step two, budget. I was like, budget? That never really come to my head that we really need a budget for protecting our family when it comes to what's in our house. And I thought, that's really true. That needs to be just as much as we're budgeting for what we're going to eat out this month, that one of the fixed budgets is what we're going to do to keep our family safe. I'm telling you, it's a lot more important what your kids look at than it is necessarily spending a few extra dollars out to eat. And if that's all it takes is a meal out at Chiloso and not going to get something like this, it's well worth it. That Circle Go or Meat Circle, it's a $99 fee. I don't know if there's another fees, but it's basically this little box that basically attaches. It links up to every single one of your devices in your home and then is able to give you back reports. It's really pretty cool. You could even put like off times to where it shuts down the internet capability on your son's phone at 9 p.m. So, and then wakes it up at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. or whatever. It's kind of crazy. I was like Super Big Brother. I don't know. We just watched the movie called Circle. Does anybody watch that? Yeah. And then those things like Circle and it tracks everything. I'm like, well, this is creepy. I don't know if I like this, but anyway, it has some good things. I don't know. Maybe in the end, I'm going to realize, well, that was Disney taking over the world. I didn't even know it. But make sure that you get something, because you're not going to be able to keep up. It's just too much to keep up with everything yourself. You need something that's going to set some parameters. Thing that I just want you to know on your phone, and I looked at this, is if you'll go under settings and then to general, probably everybody knows this, but maybe you don't. If you go to restrictions and then, there's a passcode to be able to change the restrictions, but then I could easily just go, okay, so Safari is disabled off my phone. Before I ever give Savannah a phone, you better believe that it's not going to be her internet search deal, okay? I'm going to take it off and go, here's your phone, and it's a phone. I might take off until I can trust what kind of pictures are being sent. I might take off the camera for a little while. I might, when I don't know what's going on, you know, take off FaceTime. That was the interesting thing when I was listen to this other guy from another church. He was big on FaceTime and going, hey, that's not something that a kid needs to have right away. Think about the visual. He says, basically, you're inviting somebody into your house. So their rules for FaceTime were you only FaceTime in a public, like in your living room. You can't go to your bedroom and FaceTime somebody. And I thought, man, I don't even know that. But think about that. Girls got FaceTime, boys got FaceTime. He's in his bedroom, but he's not really in his bedroom. He's really in her bedroom because he's right there in their house. And so their rules were that parent can always ask, hey, who are you FaceTiming with? Because if they were in their house, they would have to introduce them, obviously. So they can't like secretly FaceTime. So that's something that you can turn off and you don't have to worry about somebody getting on there and what's going to happen. So there's some easy things on here that fortunately technology is aware of some of the problems, and they've actually put some things that are pretty easy to do. So that's just something I recommend. A general rule, and we'll talk about this in a minute, is you don't give everything to them, because the phone's and everything, and you don't have to give it all to them, everything that it's capable of. You give it in bits and pieces, and you have some good conversations during that while you're getting ready. So anyway, that's program. I mean, look at this. Things think about when beginning an iPhone or the phone, iPhone. I just assume everybody gets the iPhone. That's not necessarily true. iPad conversations. A phone is not a toy. You know, they can kind of begin to think it's like a toy, especially younger kids. I think my kids kind of think their iPad's a glorified, really cool toy. They're blissfully unaware of what it's capable of, and that's a good thing. But within the next couple of years, those conversations are going to be a lot more prevalent in our home about, especially with my sons, about that. So it's much powerful. It can be used for much good and bad. I mean, I think all of us would know, man, there's so many cool, good things that come out of technology, and man, what a blessing it is. I mean, when you think about internet campus of a church and people that are connecting all over the world and so much great stuff, the resources that I've found out that I would have no idea about, but I've seen on Facebook that somebody's posted, I'm like, oh, that's really good, you know, and a lot of good stuff, but it can be used for a lot of bad too. And so we've really got to think about that. So once you think, that's a good thing to kind of think about as you're talking with your son or daughter. Look through both the prepare them lens and the protect them lens. So on one hand, you're preparing them for the future and wanting to prepare them to launch, but you also want to protect them as well. And so that's a tension that you're going to find in your home. They're going to want a lot more preparedness and go, I'm ready to go. And you're going to still go, I want to protect you. And so you've got to figure out as a family, hey, at what point does that kind of we start probably way more with a protect. And then, and it's much heavy. It's, you know, 80% protect, 20% prepare. At some point, that goes down and it kind of switches. And all of a sudden, it's 80% prepare and 20% protect almost. You know, it's like, because they're going to be going out on their own, and therefore they're going to have to be able to navigate this stuff. And better maybe that they make a mistake or two there while they're still in your home and their senior year of high school than and they get to college. And so it's that's something. Think about both of those lenses. Cast vision for your future. What is your goal with them? Like that's what as you're talking to your kids, your goal is, hey, I want you to be able to have your own phone one day, but this is not the day. I want you to be able to. It's gonna be great. But today's not the day, but that's the vision for the future. That's where they're going. It's where every kid wants to be. They're gonna go, all my friends have phones, and that's so unfair. Hey, I want you to be there too, but I'm your mom, I'm your dad. You know, I want you to be at this point. Trust me, I want you to get to your senior year and have all of this freedom. Chances are some of your friends, they will have all their freedoms taken away by the time they're their senior year because they've been messing up right now. Don't you want to be there where you actually have a car and can drive? It's similar to a car, you know, really think about it. We all want our kids to one day drive, but we don't give our keys to them when they're 12 or 13. You know, it's too powerful a car is. So there's got to be some times. And even though the government says, boom, 16, you know, I kind of wish there was some rule about phones. Wouldn't that make it easier on all of us if it was illegal to have a phone before a certain age? I'd be like, oh, thank you, government. You could do something good for us. But that's not really where we are. That's probably not going to happen. Who knows? Maybe, but I don't think so. But you want to cast vision for them to go, we're moving in a direction. This is a part of a process, and here's where we want you to be, not just in the area of technology and social media, but in all areas. Prioritize an ongoing conversation. The worst thing I think a parent, and there's so many parents that do this, is they basically toss the phone to the kid and they say, happy 12th birthday, and good luck. And it's like, there are no more conversations with their kids. And their kids have access to everything, and there's no ongoing conversation. So you want to keep that conversation going. Take your time. This is where I get to. Don't give them everything all at once. What you want to do is you want to, as you have your phone. This is let's see. I'm trying to see. Okay, yeah, I don't have that. What I heard was, and I thought this is a great point. You never have more leverage than you do when you're about to hand over the phone. Like at that point, they're like, oh, give it to me. I'll agree to anything. What do I have to do? I'm in. That's when you have the most leverage. So don't waste that opportunity. Like, take those opportunities to run through, hey, here's what we're giving. Here is what the rules are. Here's what we got to agree to. Here's kind of how everything's going to go. You set all those things and you don't give them everything. You can give them the ability to go, hey, we're just going to start out with phone and we're going to do texting, but hey, here's the deal. We're going to limit the number of people that you're going to be able to text to these people, because this phone is so that I can know where you are now that you play football, and you can call me at the end of practice and let me know when y'all are done so I don't have to wait in that crazy line. You know, that's the reason you have this phone. Now, our goal is for you to get here by a certain time to be able to have a lot more numbers and people that you're going to call. And if you can show that you're going to actually, number one, just keep up with your phone. Like, that's kind of a learning thing. Can't tell you how many phones get lost at the shore, and that's full of middle schoolers, or stolen, which are actually lost, misplaced. And this girl goes, yeah, it was stolen. Well, I leave it around a lot. She told me, I was like, that's probably not a good idea. That's the new iPhone 7. That's not a good idea. And anyway, we ended up finding it. Fortunately, there's some honest people in the world, but there's some that aren't. So, but you've got a lot of leverage. And so use that to go, hey, this is what we're doing. This is why I'm going to give you this, because here's why I think you need this now. But I don't think you need to be on social media right now. I think you need to have a phone to be able to call me. And I want you to feel like you can always be in touch and I can know where you are. And I can even know that where your phone is, there you will be, you know. And so you give them that. Now, that is, you're going to have other parents look at you like you might as well be Amish at that point, kind of thing. Like, they're going to be like, are you riding a horse and buggy? And what is going on? And your kid will probably think that too. But it's part of the process. So you give them part of it, okay? When you start teaching your kid to drive, most people don't start out on 635. Like, that's not the best spot. You know, you're going to start in a parking lot, right? You're going to go, let's see if you can drive around the parking lot before you get out on the road. And before you get out on a major road, let's see if you can get just down our neighborhood streets. The kids understand that when it comes to driving, but they don't get that when it comes to a phone. And so what I would say is that everything on the phone is like, oh yeah, I don't mind if you drive to the airport to pick up Uncle Ricky, you know, kind of thing. You know, you're not gonna have your 16-year-old do that. That's gonna be a little bit down the way. So it's part of the plan. Trust that's earned allows for more access. If they mess up, then you're able to pull back a little bit and you still haven't given them everything. But when you give them everything, and here's what I would encourage all y'all to be, tell people about this, because the more people we can get to go, yeah, that actually makes sense, it's going to be easier for y'all and everybody else, you know, when you're like, hey, are there other parents that think about this? Because most parents, I think, feel totally just, I don't know, I give up. Everybody's doing it, I guess I got to give a phone too. And haven't even thought about the fact that you don't have to give everything that a phone has. So talk about it. Simulate emergency situations with them before you give them the phone, because they might find themselves in that. You know, what if someone sends me something that's inappropriate or illegal? What do? I promise you this, Savannah is not going to get a phone until we have a conversation that says, if somebody sends you an inappropriate picture or asks you to send a picture of yourself to somebody, here's how we're going to handle that. Because the reality is, in our world, middle schoolers, and you can see it in this ugly numbers describing pornography somewhere. Let's see. It's one of these. Let's see. Okay, 62% of teens and young adults have received sexually explicit image. Meanwhile, 41% have sent one, usually a boyfriend or girlfriend. Women are more likely to send and receive these nude images. It's literally, when I will talk to some students, it's like, it's no, in the world of our world, their thought is it's not a big deal. I'm like, what? Like, what do you mean it's not a big deal to send a nude picture of yourself to this guy? That's not a big deal. I mean, that's where we've gotten to. Now, that sounds super scary. Not every person is doing this, but no kid is exempt from the possibility of getting sent something like that or being asked. Guys that are actually, I would think, are good guys, but don't even understand, haven't even realized what they're doing to these girls. That's just so common in the world of middle school and high school. It's a little scary to me. I can't believe it, but that's just the reality. So you've got to talk about what do you do. Delete it right away. Don't show anyone. Call a parent. What if a friend is in danger and they text you something? What do you do? If somebody, we've had this, the kids come to me at the shore and go, my friend just texted me that they're thinking about killing themselves. You know, they've got to understand what happens, because that could happen to any kid where they get sent some information they don't know really what to do with. And so you've got to go through, hey, this happens, here's the way we handle it. This happens, here's the way we handle it. This happened, here's the way we handle it. Emergency situations, what are you going to do? Okay, make sure they understand they're using your phone, not theirs. If you pay the bills, it's your phone, okay? They do not need to see it as their phone, because if they see it as their phone, they'll be like, I can't believe you're looking at my phone. I can't believe you're checking up on my phone. I just need some privacy. This is your phone, and you need to be really clear. This is my phone. I pay for it. One day I want you to have your own phone, and you'll pay for your own phone one day, and that'll be awesome, and you'll be on your own plan, but I pay for it. It's on my plan. That means I have the ability. You know, you're going to have some of those conversations that you go, I'm going to look at who's texting you. I'm going to, you know, when we charge it at night, just know I'm probably going to look at it. Now, on the one hand, that feels very like, oh, I can't believe you do that. But what they don't realize is that's the greatest freedom that they have, because any one of their friends, they can go, dude, you cannot send me that because my parents are going to look at that, okay? Let you guys be the bad guy, you know? So they've got that freedom to go, yeah, no, you don't need to do that. Like, you might have texted her that. Don't ever text me that because my dad's going to look at this, okay? The guy, the pastor over there at North Point, he says, spying leads to lying, which leads to crying. Okay, so, you know, and spying is that going where you kind of say, hey, it's your phone, it's all yours, but then you secretly check up on them. Because what happens when you find something that you really need to address it? Then you feel like, do I need to lie to them about that I didn't see it, or that how did I find that? No, you just are honest with them going, hey, I'm going to look at it. It's my phone, so I get to look at it whenever I want to. And just know that. So you don't get into this, hey, this is your phone where you know they can do whatever they want. They set passwords. So set expectations and rules before you hand over the device. Like I said, that's when you've got the most sway in their minds. And this was a good thought that I thought a guy talked about. He said, your students should never get in trouble for what somebody else sends them. We had a situation with a middle school girl and a high school guy. The high school guy had sent had a text conversation, and it had gone from friends to much more of a sexual nature. I mean, to the point where literally going, you know, hey, will you send me a picture of yourself? The girl didn't, and then the guy, which is prototypical, starts going, you just hate me. You don't. I mean, I'm just so, like, everybody hates me, and I'm just down to try and kind of manipulate her to kind of go, okay, I feel bad for you. But she never did. She didn't do it. Praise the Lord. Dad finds or gets the phone, and they have an agreement that he's going to look through it. He looks through it, and he finds this. And his first reaction was wanting to chew out his daughter, because how in the world did she get herself into this predicament? And you're grounded from everything forever, you know? I mean, because this is a scary moment. One of the things I talked to him about was to go, man, your daughter was in over her head. This was an older boy asking for pictures of her. She didn't send it to him. Less instead of coming as though, you know, you are this horrible person that made all these mistakes, go, hey, man, I'm so proud of you, the way that you didn't give in and send anything right then. And there's things we could work on, like, hey, if this happens, talk to us, okay? You're not going to get in trouble for showing us this. You need to do that. So there's things you can work better, but they're going to get stuff sent to them. They need to understand that they can't send that to anybody. They don't even need to send that picture to you. That can be seen as forwarding pictures and illicit stuff. You don't want to get that. They need to delete it, and they need to tell you what happened. If they will do that, it's going to save them a lot of trouble. It's going to help your whole family. No family wants to get drugged through all of a sudden people accusing your son or daughter who you know, of being a sexual predator or, you know, spreading pornography or child pornography or getting their name on some sort of sex offender list when they're 17 years old because they really just made some dumb mistakes and they sent it on and said, I can't believe they sent me this. Did you see what they sent me? And they sent it to a friend. It's like, no, don't. You don't do that. So you got to talk through those situations, which is really big. But if somebody sends your son or daughter something, they've got to have the freedom to know, I'm not going to get upset at you about what somebody else sends you. You're not going to ever get in trouble for what they sent to you. Now, you might go in and go, hey, but we're going to block that number because clearly they don't have the ability to understand, you know, what's right and wrong. And so let's block that number. And you have that conversation, but that's just one of those important things that you talk about. So those are some of those iPhone, iPad conversations. I've got a couple other things I wanted to hit. These are just some random thoughts. On social media, so I don't have anything officially written out. What I would say is one at a time. Apps need to come slowly. And some of them are no big deal. Obviously, they're you know, just wanting to play a game or something like that. Most kids do not see that as a distinction of why is that different from that. But when you get an app that is going to all of a sudden connect them to infinite number of people, that's much different from, you know, playing a game of just driving a race car or some goofy thing like that. So social media apps, I'd say, obviously, one at a time. They don't need to get on and download every app. They don't need to get, you know, Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat and Facebook and get all those and, oh man, just dive in the deep end. That would not be a good thing. So one at a time. Talk about each of them before you let them download it. Hey, here's how do we want, if your son or daughter is a follower of Christ, how do we want to how should we as a follower of Christ handle Instagram? What are the things that we should post about? What are the things we not post about? Are we posting because we want to brag and make ourselves look this way? Are we trying to portray something that we're not? Is that really what Christ would have us do, is portray this image that we're not, you know? And so you have those conversations about what are we trying to do? What's the point of this? What are we wanting to do with this? And it's an ongoing conversation. You need to be their first friend on there, okay? They should not have something. Now, here's what's going to happen. Your kids will, if they're not, you know, it's been known that kids have created fake accounts, okay? And all of a sudden they're saying, oh, my parents are aware of this account, but I've got three other Instagram accounts that they have no idea about. Those are the kinds of things that you're going to have to do a little sniffing out. If you're all in your circle of friends that their parents have access to their phone, trust me, they'll, as they're looking at their kids' phones and their Instagram or something like that, they might go, oh, that's funny that that's your son's picture, but his name is like, you know, Mark Vandenbaum or something, you know, that he's made of this account that you don't know about. You may want to talk to him about that. You know, kids always get caught with that kind of stuff. And so, but you want to make sure it's one at a time. You're their first friends. You need to have some rules about who you friend. You never friend anybody that you don't know personally. It may start out that they never friend anybody that you don't know personally. And start out with going, hey, these have got to be kids that I know before you get, before they follow you, okay? And then you go, okay, now that I know everybody on here and I'm seeing the way you're using this, again, if your kids have a great group of friends, this is going to be much less of an issue than it is if they've got some sketchy friends. But you never know. It doesn't take much on Instagram to move from innocent search and looking at for friends to pornography. It's literally about two steps away, if that. The guys that I met with in a discipleship group, every one of them, that was their biggest stumbling block, was Instagram. It wasn't X-rated websites. It was Instagram. It sounds so harmless and just a bunch of pictures, but I could even look up, try and follow the shore, which is what I'm in charge of, okay? But if you stick the shore, and then there's images of the shore, and then people on the shore, and all of a sudden people don't have much clothes on the shore, and then it was all, I mean, you're like right over there. And I was just trying to see if anybody posted anything about the shore last Wednesday night. it's a reason I don't even have Instagram on me, and I'm supposed to be a youth pastor, but actually did download it. It's funny because we were comparing followers. I think I follow like three people, and they're like former employees. They're like, yeah, Matt, you're not doing too good. It's like, yeah, but Facebook, dude, I got a lot of friends. And they're like, yeah, nobody uses Facebook anymore. So my other secret of social media, if you want to shut down any site, get all the parents to join it and start using it. And then kids will be like, I really don't want to be known as the person that is on that site. So if we want to shut down Snapchat, let's just all get on it and start doing, hey, this is so cool, and talk with your kids about, I love that. You want to do this together? You're like, we got to find another social media outlet, because that's when Facebook turned into grandmom book, and it was, and no longer, all my Facebook friends are literally in college, but they friended me when they were in middle school, and so it's hilarious. It's parents and then all these college kids, because nobody else uses Facebook anymore. So talk with other parents about how they're using, this should be a discussion with people that you're around, of going, hey, what do y'all think about social media? What are your kids on, and that kind of deal. I didn't want to come in here and go, here's what you got to know, everything about Instagram, because probably if you got kids that are going to be on, getting into social media in 3 years, it's going to be something totally different, and all your knowledge about Instagram will be kind of pointless. So keep up with what it is that they're, if your kids are on it, you need to be on it and figure out the ins and outs. And if they're not on it, you probably don't need to worry that much about it right now. But if they're on it, jump in. Really be careful when it comes to girls. Their self-esteem and how that is affected by social media is huge. Have some good ongoing conversations. If you start thinking or seeing changes in your son or daughter, pull them out of that and go, hey, I've got to see this, because this is not being healthy right now. If they're being bullied by people on social media, it might seem unfair to them, but sometimes you just got to get off of it, because you don't want to be around it.
And parents help with
people. Yeah. 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 It's kind of a, It's the entire thing is just goofy. When you look at it from like a believer's perspective, but from a non-believer's perspective, it's like, this is my way to air everything that I think, as though it doesn't affect anybody, but it really can have some crushing effects on students. And but you need to prepare your students and talk about, hey, what is it? Again, if your student is going to be surrounded and following good folk, I mean, some of their good friends, it can be a fine thing. It's not that it's in and of itself a terrible thing. And there's a lot of good, but you've got to watch. The thing I watch about with guys is what they're looking at, images, pornography. Girls is all about self-esteem and how they're portraying themselves and what they're, they can get so dependent on likes. I heard it described, have y'all probably seen that guy that was going all over Facebook, speaking of social media, that talked about millennials? I don't know if any of y'all saw that. His name was like Simon. Anyway, he talks about social media and how we've unleashed it. It's like opening up, and so many people deal with their pain by trying to get likes and stuff like that. He goes, it's almost like we've opened the liquor cabinet to 12-year-olds and said, hey, if you just are getting really down, take a sip of this, because that'll make your pain go away. You know, they will get to the point where they're texting, you know, 10 people, hey, in hopes that somebody will come back and say, hey, back to, you know, like, and everything is like knocking their self-esteem up and down. And none of it's healthy, because this bloated self-esteem that's based on number of likes, that's just setting up for a crash. It's a roller coaster. They're just up at the top, but they're about to go down. And so even if it's going well, it's not going to be good. So why are you posting this? Is a great question. Hey, what are your hopes for this? That's most of it. And then reminding them that a lot of this stuff, they may not think it's permanent, but it's permanent. And so very stuff that I think is going to be crazy is how permanent some of these things that happen in middle school, how that's going to be brought back into their life when they're 25, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not that person, but people are treating them as though they are still that person they were when they were 15 and really stupid, like all of us were. Those are some of the things that I would think about for social media. again, internet stuff. Again, accountability is really important. TV, no TVs in kids' rooms, no TVs without restrictions and passwords on it. I for a while, when there was less internet and everybody just had a phone that was available in their room, I was like, Satan's biggest advancement in the world in terms of hurting middle schoolers and high schoolers' lives are media rooms, because they're dark and comfortable and away from everybody else in the family. And that's not a good combination for a guy and a girl that wants to go up and just watch a movie at night. But there are plenty of people in around here. They're like, oh, that's great. Look, we got this great. They were climbing all the way. That's not a good idea, you know. So now it's not just media rooms. It's every room when you can bring your stuff into there. And so they can invite a world of people into their room really quickly. On their PlayStation, you've got to watch about that. I was talking with Greg, whose sons are always in this. And I mean, they can connect to the internet and they watch online videos of how to make Minecraft something or other. That's nothing wrong with that. But you don't know how they're connecting and who's talking. And all of a sudden they're dropping F-bombs and stuff like that. And it's like, what? You know, and they're, because they're connected to the internet. When they're playing games, if you've got guys, it's probably a bigger issue with guys that are connecting out and playing games online with people that they don't know, dude, that's a dangerous thing. It just is. And so I would really be leery of that. If you don't know who you're playing the game with, don't play the game with them. And that sounds stupid, but, and maybe like 1980s-ish, but I would have that rule. Say, if you don't know the guy, I'm not gonna play, because they might be trying to do something to them that is not a good thing. And so, and in the end, you're never even gonna meet the guy to brag to him that you beat him. That's kind of the deal there.
I was just gonna mention real fast that there was an incident that came out a few months ago of a girl who she was playing with a guy on Minecraft, and they were talking and they decided to meet, and then he raped her and murdered her.
Yeah.
So it's scary because you think it's just a game. They're not going to meet the kids on there or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're still, you know, probably never going to see them or whatever.
But yeah.
If they don't know who you're playing with or talking to, you don't know how the conversation's going or what's going to
happen. Exactly. Yeah. You cannot be too involved in this area, because this is them being handed the keys of $70,000 car to go driving, and you would take an interest in that, you know, if they're 13. So you've got to be in there, you've got to be diligent about it, and you can't just go, oh, I think it's fine, because it's a scary world. They need your help to help walk them through that. And you want to get them to the point where they're on their own and they're making good choices, and that can happen. It really can. But it's too much for them to handle at a young age to be able to navigate all this. And so this was some good, this porn-free family plan I thought was just a handy thing to go, hey, we're going to make sure our home is a safe place. None of us would want our home to not be a safe place, but the reality is that a lot of homes are. They're going to go to friends' houses that aren't. They're going to be sitting on the bleachers at a ball game, and a friend's going to show them a picture of a naked girl, potentially from their class. You're not going to be able to stop everything like that, but you can at least put some parameters in, and you got to talk to them about how do you deal with that when they get that. This stuff about pornography will blow your mind in terms of the use of this, and it is a scary thing how dulled our senses and the senses of our students have gotten. I knew a guy that he makes his kids DVR everything, and I was like, well, that's interesting. They don't watch live TV. I said, why is that? He goes, because I want them to be able to fast forward through commercials, and I don't want them to see commercials. I thought, that's not a bad idea, because so much junk is on commercials. I mean, how many of you have been watching something and the commercial comes on, or they're getting so like, I want, because it's in commercials. So that's kind of cool. But it's a lot of good stuff. Just would encourage you to be diligent in it. Keep your eyes open. There is a website, cpyu.org, that I would recommend. It's called Center for Parent Youth Understanding. It helps gather a lot of data into one place and go, oh, that's interesting. It's a really guy, Walt Mueller, who leads it, is a top-notch guy, really solid, and really wise. And he's been in student ministry longer than I have. And it's a really good website. So for resources, that single place can connect you out to about 1,000 different other good places for resources. So anyway, thanks for being here tonight. Let me say a prayer. Pray for all of us. Pray for our kids as they enter in this crazy world, okay? God, we thank you for tonight. And just pray that you would help us as we kind of process through all this. God, we pray that you would protect our kids. God, we pray that you prepare our kids to grow into adults that have a healthy understanding and use of technology and social media. And God, we just pray for just the world that they're in. It is so different from the world that we grew up in. And sometimes it's hard for us to know what to do and what to say. God, I pray you give us wisdom, that you'd help us to have some of those difficult conversations, sometimes to not always be our kid's best friend, when they're not real happy with us. But God, I pray that we would trust that what we're doing is right and is worthwhile. And is the end going to be the most God-honoring thing to do? So God, we love you, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.